Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to AI Audible, the new narrated article podcast from the Anfield Index podcast channel.
What do we want from Klopp and Liverpool? By Trevor Downey. Are you adrift on an undulating sea of football-based emotion? Are your thoughts oscillating uncertainly between bleak despair and manic attempts at forced positivity? And perhaps you've long since settled at the bottom of that metaphorical ocean and developed a fevered interest in, let's say, sea anemones. Well, that just makes you a Liverpool fan, my friend. And your experience is shared by us all. In what some folk condescendingly dub the real world, there is currently such deep state-induced chaos at play, such unnerving exposure of what some of us feared had been lurking beneath the veil, that many of us had already developed an unhealthy reliance on the distracting power of football. Total immersion in the Red Men, we reasoned. That's the ticket. Alas, for Liverpool fans, the timing of that attempt to escape creeping dystopia could not be worse. For just as the sane denizens of Earth peek through their fingers at the horror clown in Washington, the Reds' form has taken a dive off the steepest of cliffs. If it wasn't for bad luck, we'd have no luck at all, right? Does that sum up the despondency? Is that the narrative? Well, at this point, your scribbler needs to make a confession. The above quote was an actual thing said by the writer of this column on Saturday, but there's no true despair here. Not really. See, I've had some visceral experience of that emotion, and this is not that. Instead, like a heart-scalded parent coping with yet another adolescent balls up, we're not mad at you, LFC, we're just disappointed. Now, was there short-term rage? Sure. Were there acts of naked aggression towards hapless inanimate objects during the match? Absolutely. Did waking on Sunday morning have that familiar heaviness and foreboding that follows a loss? Oh God. Yes. However, unlike the furious keyboard batterers of Twitter, we at Latest News do not feel that we have any better ideas than Jurgen Klopp. Over the course of a tenure, some mentalists would like to see ended. The bearded German has been almost uniformly wonderful in his influence over the club. Certainly, he has made mistakes, and here's a scoop for you. He will make more, being, you know, human. It's not just the outrage of armchair experts that clamours for attention. There's a tribe of indignant sorts, angrier even than those pound shop Guardiolas who claim to know better than our manager. These are the folk who tell you to blindly trust in the Reds gaffer. Both points of view are as idiotic as each other. Annoyance and scepticism are valid, but so is hopefulness and levity. You're not wrong to believe, and you're not wrong to have abandoned that belief. Just beware the odd allure of extremism, you know, in general. Don't get me wrong, there is no position of moral high ground being taken up here. At the end of Saturday's wretched match, this Irishman could happily have rolled Simon Mignolet up in a carpet, bundled a package into the back of a car, and driven it straight into a FIFA wine and cheese soiree. But that would be wrong. Probably. The truth is that, since before the turn of the year, the form of Klopp's men has taken a cataclysmic dip. Since the fantastic win over Manchester City, the effect of that dip has manifested itself in the wretched results of the past 5 weeks. Some of us thought the squad needed freshening. That would cure the malaise. That didn't happen. The form and results dipped yet further. It does not require Holmesian deductive talent to work out what happened next. Yeah, it was time to burn it all down. Time to roll out the ex-Reds with a gripe. Time to wallow in the cold smugness of having been proved right. the Pyrrhic victory of I told you so. The squad is insufficiently possessed of character and guts. The players are a bunch of nearly men and not good enoughs. Jurgen Klopp's men were overpaid frauds. The echo chamber was deafening. The default terms of abuse were activated. Oh, and look, as if by magic, here comes a compatriot of the Liverpool manager on the BBC football show with a knee-jerk, tabloid-friendly reaction. I found it strange in the summer, I've got to say, because if you look at the pure facts, Jurgen Klopp came in and I think he changed the perception of the city and the football club, said Champions League winner and gob for hire Dietmar Hamann on Match of the Day 2. He gave them common sense and he made an impact when he came in, but if you look at the pure facts, I don't think the points average has improved dramatically since Brendan Rodgers. You get to two finals, you lose two finals. I think they both should and could have won, especially the second one against Sevilla. That would have had a huge impact, as they would have been in the Champions League. Now, particularly galling to cricket fancier Didi was the outlandish display of faith FSG showed in Klopp by awarding him a six-year contract. One does not simply get stability from a six-year contract, reasoned the ultra-insightful Hamann. No, no. For him, stability is brought about by good work in the transfer market. Securing the commitment of a man who's objectively amongst the world's finest coaches is not such a big deal for Didi. In fact, he doesn't seem to really fancy the bespectacled schemer's chances at all. Whether Klopp can change it with this team or another, I'm not sure. But something has to change, because the way the team is going in recent years is not good enough. Ah yeah, the age-old refrain. It's not good enough. Not good enough for who? Not good enough according to what standards? Yes, friends, we are Liverpool and so on. But the cold facts are starkly disquieting. The status many of us old-timers believe is ours is a given. It simply is not. There has been one pot put in the cupboard in 11 years. 11 years. In that same period, there was a solitary flirtation with winning the title. The difference between where Liverpool truly is as a club and where we as fans want, need and expect it to be is very pronounced. Now, Jurgen Klopp understood that when he came in. And he still came in. The tail end of Brendan Rodgers' tenure was a dark time of despondency. It's not that long ago. You were more upset then, remember? In the interim, as Hamann points out, there have been finals. But there has also been a recovery of something lost. Some intangible thing. The type of thing that it's easy to sneer about when results are poor. Now, many fear, the familiar process has started again. The club is on the slide, they say. The horror of watching what appeared to be a genuine title challenge explode has completely shattered the faith of many. Perhaps they are right. Latest news will admit to finding it dispiriting that a frenzied street brawl with old Eye-Gouger for a top four berth is now the peak of the Reds' ambitions. It's all very Spurs. However, it's also the last target left to aim at, and so, as indefatigable footy optimists, we're all in. Of course, if you don't fancy that, we wouldn't blame you in the slightest. Endure as you can, friends. Just try to enjoy the ride when it allows and step lively away from other people shouting at each other when it does not. There's enough of that in every other aspect of life. It's not perfect, and it will require tolerance some of us are in short supply of, but this Kloppian chapter of the Liverpool story will be more good than bad. I really struggled with this morning. The option was get in and do some quotey-based genuine news items, or get in, sit down and write what you just heard, which was kind of from the guts. It is bizarre to have written that kind of thing from the guts and to have some remarkable responses below the line that would indicate that perhaps it hadn't been read anyway. God bless them. We're left holding a shattered husk of a season. And this is the man who had told you only last week that, you know, it was still potentially on, and now it seems so not on that it's laughable, and there is literally only 3 points in the difference. But I think even the most wildly optimistic would say that the big goal is now no longer really a possibility, and that all of a sudden top four with the sort of renaissance of City and the just won't go awayness of United, it starts to look like a real challenge. And we're hoping that the Arsenal fallout of Arsenal season, that Spurs will do a Spurs at some point. It's all quite dispiriting, like I said in the piece. It's all a little bit scrapping for pieces. And it lacks the dignity. I think we would all have liked the dignity involved in being at least second and at least having the bragging rights to say that, well, okay, Chelsea ran away with it, but we stayed where we were. Now, can this particular group of individuals rally? They better, because the wildness of the reaction and the negativity to something that people already knew was done. This is what kills me. People already knew the transfer window was closed and that the business, or lack of it, was what it was. And yet, they're straight out with their told you so, and they're straight out with their ranting and raving. And like, look, there's nothing wrong with letting off a bit of steam. There's nothing wrong with thinking we should have made signings. We should have made signings. That's patently obvious, I think, to anyone. But that's not how this guy works, apparently. And we're either all in or we're not all in. And, you know, it's annoying the crap out of me, but, you know what? I'm all in.
Thank you for listening to AI Audible. You can read this episode's article along with many others on AnfieldIndex.com. You can download our AI channel app on iOS and Android. And you can find all our AI Audible episodes on Twitter at AI Audible and on AnfieldIndex.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc. Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.